today I'm here with Marco Gomez, who is the founder of Boobox, which is a Brazilian advertising company. Marco, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and where you're from in Brasilia and your life and in general before we talk about business?
Yeah, of course. So I'm from Brasilia, the capital of Brazil. I lived there until I was 20 years old. With 20 years old, I made this prototype of a social media advertising company and moved to São Paulo to create my company. I did computer science at the Brasilia Federal University. It's called UNB. But I dropped it out, so I didn't finish my graduation. I don't have a degree.
I think you need to stop your company and go back and finish.
Yeah, no way. No way at all. So I'm a dropout. I did 3 years of computer science, but I did executive education in Stanford University, California, in 2011. So a couple of years ago, after I started my company, when my company was 3 to 4 years, I did this executive education in Stanford University on strategic marketing. So nothing related to computer science. I did strategic marketing management in Stanford University. This is my, let's say, academic preparation, and it's not even a degree. It's just executive education. But I don't have a degree, and I'm a dropout. And that's pretty much it. I'm from Brasilia. I'm from Gama. It's a small city, 40 kilometers from Brasilia. I've grown up and lived there. It's a lower mid-class community with 200,000 people. And I lived there until I was 20 years old when I moved to São Paulo, probably the biggest city in the South Hemisphere. So it was a kind of a shock to go out from a small city with 200,000 people to one with 18 million people. So that's it.
Did you move because of business?
Yes, I moved to start my company because all the advertising business in Brazil is centralized here in São Paulo, and I need to be very close to the advertising agencies and the advertisers. So in Brasilia, it would be impossible. And I was 20 years old, no wife, no kids. And so it was pretty easy to me to move to anywhere. So I moved and started my company with a co-founder and got a seed investment from local investors. And so they started again.
And so one of my friends from Brazil, he says that São Paulo is like a restroom. It's a place you go to once in a while, but you don't want to.
I don't like that because I do like São Paulo a lot. It's probably the best place to work and live in Brazil. I do like San Francisco. I do like New York much more. And some cities in Europe, like Amsterdam and Paris, but in Brazil, I think that São Paulo is the best way to work and to make business and to grow professionally. So I do like São Paulo a lot. We do have chaotic traffic. We do have very bad public policies. We do have lots of problems, let's say urban problems. But you need to learn to live with that. If your objective is to grow professionally and to get very good business deals, São Paulo is the place if you are in Brazil.
I've heard that a lot of people take helicopters to work in São Paulo to avoid the traffic.
Yeah, we do have the highest helicopters per person in the world. So here around my office, every day there is this guy that comes like 10 a.m. He arrives by helicopter, and 5 p.m. he goes back to his home that is probably like 100 kilometers from here or somewhere. But every day in the morning and in afternoon, we do have this guy coming and going to work as if he was as as if he was in a car, but he uses an helicopter. This is because expensive and secure houses in São Paulo are not expensive. Fancy houses and secure houses in São Paulo are very expensive, and there is no available space. So everybody that lives in São Paulo is kind of Manhattan, right? Everybody that lives here lives in small spaces, like singles or small families. If you are extremely rich and want a very big space with your soccer fields or pools or something like that, you need to be like 100 kilometers, 50 kilometers from São Paulo. And to come and go every day, you need something faster than your car. So you do it by helicopter. But I don't like this lifestyle. It's not my way. Even if I had enough money to do it, I wouldn't, because I don't like it. I'm much more of a frugal and simple life than this kind of fancy show-off lifestyle. This is ugly. I don't like this part of the São Paulo society. It's not beautiful, and it's not something to be proud of.
Does that guy fly his own helicopter, or is he just being flown?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Is he a pilot flying himself, or is he...
No. Because you need to have a pilot, because you can't, like, I don't know how to say it in English very well, but you can't park the helicopter on top of the building. You need to leave the person and go to the proper place where the helicopter must be parked. So you can't be your own driver, because you need to be at work, but your helicopter can't be with you on top of the building. The helicopter must go to the airport. All the helicopters must be on the airport, a small airport that we have inside São Paulo. That all these particular or person helicopters, civil helicopters, are parked. And so when the guy needs it, the guy calls and the helicopter come, get him on the top of the building, drive him home or fly him home. And at home, I don't know if they can park and stay, the helicopters stay parked at home. But here in São Paulo, on top of the buildings, it's not allowed, because it's, I don't know what to say in English, but it's only a point. It's not a port, right? So you need to leave the person and go away.
And how long would his helicopter ride to work take?
I don't know, for the standard guy, probably less than 1 hour, like 30 minutes or something like that, for 100 kilometers. I don't know that lifestyle very well, because I don't know that much people that use it. I actually only know like one person that use it, but I'm not that aware of the details. It's just something weird about São Paulo, but you, after some time, you don't even notice it. It blends on your lifestyle, so you don't notice that much of helicopters in the air. So right. you don't even pay attention to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we got a little bit off track, but that's really interesting anyway. So very good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your company.
So Boobox is a social media ad network. So we do have a network of 430,000 websites. 430,000 websites, that's it, that uses our tools to earn money with advertising. So our advertising products, like link shorteners that makes you earn money with advertisers, advertising spaces like standard IAB advertising space, like banners and super banners and that kind of stuff. And we do help these 430,000 websites to earn money through advertising. On the other hand, we help advertisers to be present on this social media, in the social media audience, right? So in Brazil, we do have 95 million internet users, and 97% of them use social tools. So we are a very, very much social culture, right?
Brazilians are social? I didn't know that was true.
Yeah, you probably know that. But yeah, we do have 97% of these 95 million people use social tools like Facebook, Blogger, Photologs, Twitter, or something like that every month. So we are
so
very,
question,
very much social.
A question on that is when I interviewed Peixe Urbano, they told
yes.
me that they have 20 million people and that there are 50 million Brazilian internet users.
When was that?
I did the interview 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Oh, no. I can send you the proper... I just do the task right here. Let me just give me send Adrian the stats about the internet users. But the most important, three of the most important, research companies of Brazil says that Brazil have more than 90 million internet users. Is Ibope, that is Nielsen. You probably know Nielsen. Ibope in Brazil is called Ibope Nielsen because they bought a company and that kind of stuff. So Ibope Nielsen is one of them. Comscore is other. And the third one is Naveg, is a very big, also from Naspers Group. So these three companies says that Brazil have more than 90 million internet users. Naveg says 100 million, 102 million. Comscore says 89 million or 92 million, I can't remember right now. And Ibope, that is the most respected one and the most more trusted to by the market, it says that is 94.5 or 94.4, but that's it. He probably was talking about what they call active internet users. There are persons that use like once a week or something like that, but I don't know this number of 50 million. All the numbers that are official are more than 90 million users.
Interesting. Because someone else, I did an interview with a VC down there as well, and he said that you have, because I think you have 180 million people in Brazil, and he said that you had probably more than 180 million people connected to the internet by cell phone, but that he thought the 50 million number sounded about right. But maybe that's actives versus inactives or something like that.
Yeah, Brazil have 180 million population or 190 million population. We do have like more than 200 million cell phones, but I don't know what their average or the rate of the cell phones that are internet enabled, because most of them are dumb phones, not smartphones with internet. So I don't know. I'm not a specialist on this market, but the smartphones are growing, but they are a very small percentage. And inside the smartphones, you have also the percentage that do have. Just a moment. The percentage that do have internet access, that are not all smartphones have internet access, so you need to break that also. But I'm not a specialist. I know that it's growing and that will grow very, very fast and will be the most important device to access internet in Brazil very soon. But I don't know the exact figures now. But I do know that Brazil have more than 90 million internet users. That's for sure. And we just surpassed the 40% internet penetration on the population. We do have 180, 190 million people, and we just last year we just passed the 40%. And there's this line on 40% internet users. It is when the internet advertising grows exponentially, because you do have a very high penetration of the population, so the money flows easier from the advertiser to the internet, because the internet got to be a mass media, not a niche media. This happened in United States, this happened first in the UK, and when that happened, when you pass the 40% historically on all markets, like I said, United States or UK, the money flows much, much more, and you do have exponential growth.
So your company does brokering effectively for, is it just brands or both brands and direct response companies?
We do just for brands, just branding advertising, and we do it only or mostly because of our technology. So this is not a, let's say, just a intermediary business like you it's not like you buy cheap and you sell expensive. It's not like this. We do have very, very strong and complex technologies to make behavioral targeting. So we do make very very specific targeting based on each individual that is accessing our network of websites, and based on the behavior of these people, we display ads for them. So we do have the behavioral profiles of 60 million people. From the 95 million internet users, we do have behavioral profiles for 60 million of the Brazilian internet users. And we do have, with this behavioral profile, we can display better advertising. So we do know how the person behaves online, what he consumes, which kind of content he likes better, which kind of content he interacts more, which kind of computer he uses, which kind of device and screen size and internet connection.
So you know everybody that's using porn in Brazil then?
Porn?
Yeah.
Sorry?
You know
all. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know. We do know. The number is
there's
big,
There's a new product for you. You could send a letter to people's houses saying that you'll tell their parents that they've been browsing porn sites on the internet if they don't pay you a fee. Like, no, seriously, this could be a new business model for you. It'd be great.
Yeah, blackmailing, right?
That's right.
Teenage blackmail or something.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, anyone they have to be 18 or under that it'll work for, because I'm sure you have all that data as well.
That's why we do have this traction with our advertisers. This is because of our segmentation technology that is very powerful, and our ROI, our return over investments, are very good to the advertisers that are our customers, because our segmentation algorithms are very good, and we do have 60 million people on our hands. So it's like, you know, the population of Germany or something like that. It's a very, very large number of people that we can target advertise on, and all of it completely private, completely anonymous. So we don't have pictures of people or names or something like that. So it's completely safe for the audience and completely effective for the advertiser.
So you have no... Do you have the equivalent of the Federal Trade Commission down there?
I don't know what is Federal Trade Commission, sorry.
Well, you would if you were in the US. So the Federal Trade Commission are the ones who do things like protect consumer privacy, and they set all sorts of guidelines and parameters around what you can track and what you can't track. And a lot of companies have gotten in trouble for doing too much tracking, and the FTC will come in every few years and put a whole lot of fines and make regulations around what can be done and what can't be done. But I would imagine in Brazil there is absolutely no regulation of any kind, am I right?
Yeah, everything that is done by the Congress directly. We don't have a organization or commission to do it. It's done by the Congress. But we do have respect. We are members of IAB, the Internet Advertising Bureau, and we do respect all the international IAB standards. So as the IAB standard, international IAB standards are very conservative because of UK, because of Europe, because of United States. When you are inside the IAB, you need to respect everything, and so we are very well covered on that matter. So we don't have any, we never had, and probably will never have any problem with that.
But have you been? Do you get audited to make sure that you are IADB compliant?
IAB, yeah, we are members of IAB, and we do have all the standards that IAB sets to all its partners. So we do are IAB compliant, right? We are.
So, because my guess is that because you have an incentive to do far deeper and far more accurate tracking, because that's going to increase CPM rates, and so my guess is that you're probably doing very, very, very good targeting. And we don't have to go too deep down into this topic, but my guess is that you probably know more about tracking web visitors than just about anybody in the world. Maybe the Chinese know as much.
Yeah, the thing here is we made our constraints be our own limits. So we can't target them with name, we can't target them with pictures, we can't target them with addresses, simply because we don't have that power on our hands, right? So we don't we chose to not have this kind of information. We don't partner with credit card companies, with internet providers, with I don't know, magazines, distributors, or something like that. We don't partner with this kind of businesses exactly so we don't have the rights to use this kind of information. So even if we wanted to use pictures or names, we don't have how to get this information, and we don't want them because they are not relevant to our businesses. What is relevant to our business is the behavior of the person online. And they behave.
A lot of the behavior tracking is restricted in the US as well. I mean, there's even becoming laws around cookie tracking. And I mean, here's the thing. If you limit by a lot the level of tracking that you do, I could come in and make a competitor to you and get CPMs that are 10 times higher than yours because I'll be able to do such effective tracking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not very, very, very well versed on these American laws, but we are doing everything that is allowed in according to IAB and Brazilian regulation and international regulation. We do give a choice to our users to not be tracked by, you know, privacy modes of internet browsers and cookie cleaning and all that stuff. So we are completely fine with that, even because the Brazilian advertising market is like 3 to 5 years behind the United States market. So it's this year that the advertisers are starting to learn and to understand behavioral targeting. Until 2010, 2011, they didn't even understood how it worked. How you are going to display my ad to a person that is interested in my campaign if you don't have its data? So they didn't have this understanding. So the problem of very strong or deep or invasive tracking is not a problem in Brazil because nobody does it because the market don't want to buy it, don't know how to buy it. So it's not a problem here for this matter.
Okay, so have you had a lot of problems in the media with people complaining about internet tracking?
No. Here in Brazil, this matter is starting to be discussed. And the biggest problem is with the guys that get access to private information, like the guys that have email access, like Google or Yahoo or Microsoft. The guys that have sign-up forms with lots of information, like Facebook, that tracks everything that you do. The biggest discussion is with these guys and not with the anonymous tracking players like Bubox and other networks or portals or other players. So the questions goes all to these guys that they do have access to lots of information. If you trade emails with your wife about being pregnant, the Google knows that you are pregnant and will display ads to you on its third-party websites through AdSense or display network. So this is the true too deep tracking, let's say, right? But the players like Bubox or in the ad networks alike, we don't even have access to emails or to social networks or something like that. So we don't face this kind of problem.
Do you get any kind of external data? Like, do you buy data from anywhere at all, or is all of your data just collected online?
Just our data, because mainly because we do have 60 million people, so we don't need to get data from other players. And mainly because of what I said about the market. The market is not prepared in Brazil to buy very deep, specific targeting. So,
but like, I'll give you an example. Like here in the US, a company like yours would buy data from Experian, for example, that would be able to cross-match the data and therefore give a lot more richness and then better targeting and then therefore increase CPMs. So you're not doing that kind of stuff?
No, we don't do that kind of stuff. Lots. The biggest reason is because of the privacy concern, and also because the market don't have space to buy it. So none of the players does it. Do it, and when we enrich our targeting, we need like more than 1 year to explain that to advertisers. The advertisers here are conservative, and anything that is cutting edge or new needs lots of time and lots of evangelization to get traction on the market. So we don't need to enrich our targeting yet with Experian or you know, credit card information or anything like that. It's not needed.
So let's talk about from the side of a brand. So let's say that I am representing McDonald's, and I'm coming to you for the first time in Brazil, and I want to do some media. Now, I know that since I'm McDonald's, I can go and buy advertising on some famous Brazilian newspaper websites and stuff like that. But I want to come to you to get bigger inventory. How is that going to work, and how does that deal come together?
Yeah, the first thing is, you as an advertiser can't buy media directly here in Brazil. That's against the regulation, the laws. The law here, by the law here, you need to go through an advertising agency. The advertising agency is the only type of business that can buy media online or anywhere, online
there is a
or TV
law?
Or magazine. Of course, yes, that is. They protect. This is to keep the let's say the advertising landscape with high quality and with less attrition, right? So here in Brazil, we don't have the advertising campaigns that you do have in the United States, like brands comparing themselves to other brands or Ford attacking Chevrolet or GM. That doesn't exist here in Brazil. If a brand like Ford says on a TV ad or an internet ad that their car is better than the Chevrolet, if they sit Chevrolet, that gets very, very bad mood in the market. Not only on the advertising market, but also on the consumer's side. The consumers sees that as aggressive because it's not part of our culture. So that happens because a lot of reasons, and also because the advertising agencies, they are the only ones that buy media. So they control everything that goes through the media, to the advertising spaces, right? So they don't do this kind of aggressive communication. You don't have this kind of I'm saying aggressive because I see it as Brazilian.
Well,
but for you, it's completely normal.
What you're saying is that it gets blocked, and so you have to go through an ad agency. What about direct response advertising? What if someone wants to make, you know, like an appliance for the kitchen that cuts vegetables better or something like that? Is that stuff allowed or is that banned as well?
When is direct response online, you can do it directly. It's not that common. Some guys do it, but it's not that common. Let's say Peixe Urbano, for example, does it. But most for online, for TV, magazines, and everything else, you don't do it directly. The only exception is when you are so big, but so big that you have an advertising agency inside of your organization, like Unilever or I don't know, other big companies. But the standard case, the most common scenario is to go to an advertising agency, and that's how the market is here in Brazil.
Okay, so So let's say I'm McDonald's. I come to you. I want to run some advertising in Brazil. How does that deal? How much do I have to pay? Like, let's say I just want to get started because, you know, I don't know you. I don't know how good you are. How much do I have to pay to get started, and how does that work?
If you are McDonald's, you probably have an advertising agency. We, Bluebox, are going to convince your advertising agency to make an advertising campaign with us, or to put us as one of the media venues, one of the media channels of your advertising campaign, of your advertising agency's planned advertising campaign. Our work, Bluebox, or any of the media players in Brazil, is not directly with advertisers. Is with advertising agencies. The advertising agencies, they do have the control of the media money here in Brazil.
Okay, so My customer is not the advertiser.
My customer is the advertising agency.
Right. So you work with all the ad agencies, and then you deliver. So you're really on a very competitive basis then doing that. You really have to deliver higher CPMs, otherwise they're not going to work with you.
Yes, that's it.
So your entire business is targeting and nothing else. So why don't you try and work directly with the brands rather than through agencies?
Mostly because a market dynamics in Brazil, where you do have more than 90% of the media money in Brazil on the hands of less than 100 advertising agencies. So it's a very small market in terms of number of players, but with lots of concentration of the money. So if you bypass the agency and go directly to the advertiser, the advertiser will buy from you like one time or two times, but all the advertising agencies will close themselves and you'll be out of the market. DoubleClick did that in 2003, I think. I don't know what year exactly, but way before the Google bought them. But DoubleClick did that. But DoubleClick came to Brazil, tried to bypass agencies and go directly to advertisers. All the advertising agencies closed their businesses with DoubleClick, and DoubleClick needed to go out of the market because they tried to bypass agencies. So. Is market dynamics. Here in Brazil, you need to be, if you are media, if you are on the media play, you need to be very close and very friend with agencies. And we are very, very, very much aware of that, and we play it very well. It's our business. It's to help advertising agencies to create value to the advertisers. We do believe in this fashion, in this model, the business model, and we do believe that this is why the Brazilian advertising market is so high quality and respected and winning prizes in Cannes every year and that kind of stuff, because of this high quality standard that the advertising agencies set to themselves.
What's to stop then the agencies then saying, well, we're going to just do what Bluebox is doing?
It's not their core business. Their core business is to make creative campaigns, planning, and help the advertiser to deliver more value to the customer. So their business is not to talk with 430,000 websites, and most of them are not even the biggest part of them are not even companies. So you need to be on a I don't know, physical person trade. You know, you are not dealing with a company, you are dealing with a person. So all the dynamics of payments is completely is very complex to pay like we do 30,000 people, 40,000 people. There are not companies. So that kind of operations is not their business. And on top of that, also the technology. Bluebox is a technology company with lots of technology specific developers. We do have a team of 10 people in Argentina working only with innovation and technology. So this is two different from the advertising agency business. And
you, your development team is not in Sao Paulo. You have your development team in Argentina.
I have two development teams. I have one here in Sao Paulo. We do have not development team, but we do have 40 people in Sao Paulo and 10 people in Argentina. From the 40 people in Sao Paulo, 8 of them are developers, and in Argentina I have plus 10 developers. So we do have 18 people developing products and infrastructure and technology to Boobox. We are a technology company, a very, very technology-focused company.
So why do you have developers in Argentina? I mean, Sao Paulo is a big city. Is it that hard for you to find talent in Sao Paulo?
Yeah, we do merged with a company in 2011 because we were using their technology to targeting. So they did at that time. Now they are us, but at that time they did segmentation algorithms and artificial intelligence. That's what they were doing. We were a customer. We were customers of them. And in 2011 we figured out that was easier to merge the companies and do only one company because we were using their products for so long, and it would be easier and better for everyone if the companies merged. So we merged the two companies, and now they are our research and development team in Argentina. The biggest reason is because in Argentina the education is better, so they do have more PhDs and linguistics and statistics professionals, and these professionals they are willing to work with startups. The very few PhDs that are here in Sao Paulo or in Brazil, they are working to the government, right, to the college, to the universities, and to the big companies like IBM and Microsoft. Yeah. None of them are working with startups, and in Argentina they do have this will to work with startups. So this is why we did it in Argentina.
Hmm. I'm the only thing I would suggest, having talked to a lot of people, is that you want to have your development team close to you, but I guess you know that.
Yeah, that's part of the strategy. We do have one development team here and one there, because they are totally free to create without constraints, right? And here they are creating with all our constraints, and the merge of the two things is very good to us, because from the extreme freedom of the Argentinian team pops up lots of very, very good products on data mining and artificial intelligence. And here in Sao Paulo we do have the guys that are looking to our tail right now. So here we work in short term, in there we work in long-term and mid-term, if that makes sense.
It does. So actually, one question I want to backtrack on the behavioral stuff. How many data points do you use to target an ad?
I don't know if I understood the question very well, because my English is pretty limited.
So when you show, let's say I'm running my little website that is about trucks in Manaus, and it's just me, and I get 3,000 visitors per month, and I'm using your tracking code on the site. When you choose to display an ad from a Brazilian truck company, how many data points are you using to show that? Like, what is your, how many data points is in your database?
We do have 42 data points. Is related to everything that we get anonymously from the advert, from the audience, right? So we do get size of the screen, operation system, which sites of the Boobox environment, of the Boobox network he visited before. What were these websites, how much time they spent of them, how they behaved, like if they click it a lot, if they don't click it a lot, what was the content of the website. This is why our semantics algorithms needs to be good. Because with the semantics, you understand what the website of that person visited last week, what they were talking about, if they are talking very well or very bad, and more than that, if they were grammatically complex, so the person have, let's say, more more education or grammatically simple, so they'll have less education, that kind of information. So there are 42 data points,
right,
and we calculate all of them in real time to DisplayNet. And there's a very, very good case where I entered on my computer, that is, from my behavior, entered on a website of fashion, right? I was testing a campaign or something like that. I entered on a website of fashion, one of our partners' website, to see a campaign or something like that. So I entered on the website and I saw an MBA ad to, sign up to an MBA and that kind of stuff. But it was on a fashion website because I am interested in subjects about MBA and that kind of stuff. So that's okay. That's correct. So I when I entered on the first page of the website, or the second page of the website, on the first post and navigated a little bit, the ad was always the MBA website. But when I was on the fifth page of the website, I entered one, clicked here, clicked there, stayed clicking on the website to test something and speed and that kind of stuff, I stopped the Boobox algorithm, stopped showing me MBA websites and displayed me shampoo advertising.
Right.
Because it understood that I was not that person that was not interested in fashion anymore, because I never entered on a fashion website. And so I entered on a fashion website the first time. It shows me something about MBA because I'm not interested in fashion. But with the time, it was like 30 seconds or something like that, I visited 5 web pages. It understood that I was suddenly I got interested in fashion or something like that. So it displayed me a shampoo, a hair product ad. So this is done. And all of this is done in real time, and this is what is powerful about our technology. The technology is done in partnership with another company, very good. It's called Naveg, and we create technology on top of their technology to make the best targeting and behavioral targeting possible.
So I'm interested to hear a little bit about how the company started. You mentioned that you had the idea and then you just went to Sao Paulo and raised money. Is that how it worked? Like, how did things get going?
No, it was a little bit more complex and difficult than that. But I needed to eat a lot of $1 ramen, the Japanese or the Japanese very cheap food.
Right.
I needed to eat a lot of that for like years to before I started to make the company have a reasonable size. But it was like this. I was working I was 20 years old. I was working as a computer programmer for an advertising agency here in Brazil. I was creating very interactive advertising, like games inside banners and banners that interacted with webcams and microphones, very, very interactive ads to get the attention of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that all the ads that we were creating that were awesome and very, very interactive, they were going to the portals. Here in Brazil, there is another very singular aspect of our culture. The portals were, they are not anymore, but they were the only thing that people did online. The people accessed a portal, a very huge website, a portal, at the morning, and it used only that website for like all day long. That in 2000, 2002, 2003. But the behavior of the internet user changed over time. But the advertising didn't. So in 2006, I was 20 years old, and all my friends, we were using blogs, Google search, social networks to consume our content online, to get our content. But all the advertising was still on that old fashion of going only to the portals. And people like me didn't even access the portals anymore, or portals were only one of the 200 websites that we visit a day, right? So today, this is pretty obvious, even here in Brazil, but in 2006, it wasn't. So I thought, the money that is on the online internet advertising is all on the portals, but the attention is not on the portals anymore. The attention is on the social media, on the very small and specific websites. So our advertising should be not on the portals, but on these websites. So I created a prototype, a proposal of doing advertising campaign not only on one website, but on 200 or 4,000 websites, small websites. Mm-hmm. I did a prototype of that, put it online in December 2006. In January 2007, TechCrunch wrote about it. I sent it to TechCrunch through their to their form, their online form. I filled it and sent it. And they wrote a very, very good piece about it, saying that how nobody saw it before, how these guys in Brazil saw it, and nobody here in the Silicon Valley saw it, and that kind of stuff. So TechCrunch wrote about it, and when TechCrunch wrote about it, a lot of people came to talk with us, a lot of people trying to be investors, business partners, clients. And this was 2007. I didn't know anything about venture capital or investments. I was 20 years old. I only knew how to develop computer programs and websites. So I started learning. I met a co-founder. We started thinking about doing a company out of it from January 2007 to May 2007. We talked it, and in May 2007, I decided to drop out my college, quit my job. I was a tech leader of a team of 15 developers in this big advertising agency. I quit my job. I moved to São Paulo with no money and started working, living on a friend's spare room. I was sleeping on their on her spare room for 3 months.
But you had a business that was growing.
$1 ramen, as I said.
But you had a business.
No, I didn't. I only had a prototype.
You had a prototype?
No, I didn't. I only had a prototype and no company. I started working on it. So we started a company formally in August 2007 when we got the investment. So we got the investment. We started the company, got the investment at the same time. And after that, we spent 18 months to create this technology system, right? So we spent 18 months and $2 million working on this technology system to display the correct advertising on the correct websites, because we are not talking about only one website or two websites anymore. We are talking about 10,000 websites, 50,000 websites per campaign. So we need to control everything.
Your first investment was $2 million?
No. We invested $2 million on it. Our first investment was $300,000 in August 2007, and after that we got some other investments, complementary investments. And in November 2011, the company was going very well. We had clients, we were growing a lot. And Intel saw our project, our company, liked it a lot, and made a Series A investment. I can't say how much, but it was a standard Series A, American Series A, so a couple million dollars, so we could keep growing our company. We used it mostly to bring more human resources to the team. Our team was very small and with no well-respected professionals. We were all young and not known in the market. So we brought some market recognizable people to the team with this Intel investment and kept growing the company. This was in November 2011. This is why we brought the company that we merged in this Intel investment was 2010. November 2010, we got the Intel investment, and in 2011 we brought this artificial intelligence company from Argentina and kept growing the company with more experienced professionals from the markets.
So the steps were, you were working at an advertising company, you had this idea,
advertising agency.
You had this idea, you developed a prototype, You sent about the prototype into TechCrunch. TechCrunch wrote about it and said, "What the hell are the Americans doing? The Brazilians are figuring this all out." And then that got some attention, so you then moved to Sao Paulo. You didn't have a company, but you had sort of the basics of things in place. You kept working and working and working a lot. You got some friends helping you. Finally, then you got some investment of $300,000. That then gets you to where you then got to then a first real round of about $2 million, and then it's sort of grown from there. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And now we do have 1,500 advertisers historically, right? Since 2009 when we started the commercial operations, and we do work with the biggest advertisers of the country. We do work with Microsoft, Google, Unilever, Fiat, Volkswagen, Ford. All the banks like Itaú, Santander, and all the biggest advertisers of the country work with Bluebox. And we do also have, this is pretty important, a small and medium enterprises platform, a self-service platform, where you enter on our website, you click that you are an advertiser, you create your online campaign with all the segmentation algorithms and everything very easily with no computer science or programming or design knowledge needed. You fill out a form and we do everything automatically. Even if you don't have the ads, the creatives, the tool creates it for you automatically. If you do have, you can upload your own creatives like the super banner, the square, the sky, and everything else. You upload it, you pay with your credit card starting at $5 a campaign. So 10 reais is the minimum amount to create the campaign. And we run it on our website with our segmentation technology, and you know, we do deliver the same high quality work that we deliver to the biggest advertisers, also to the small ones that have smaller budgets.
That's great. We're almost out of time. Is there anything that you want to cover which we haven't discussed?
Let me think. Yeah, I think that's pretty important. Recently, I gave a talk at UN in New York about creative economy and the importance of independent publishing to democracy. And I think that's pretty important because it is totally related to what we are doing here with advertising. So why is it important? The independent publishing is what the true democracy is, right? Because all the big media venues, like the newspapers and the TV channels and everything, they have hidden interests. They have, you know, their own agenda. But the independent, so what they talk about is completely biased by their own interests. But the even more here in Brazil, that is a very different market than the United States. But when you talk about the independent publisher, they are not bound to anything. They if they don't like a car, they will write that they don't like a car because they are not linked to the industry that is doing it. If they don't like a cell phone, they will talk it. So if they don't like a politician, they will talk it. And this is very important to democracy, not only to consumer side, but also to politics and everything. So independent publishing is extremely important to democracy. And on top of that, the advertising is what can provide this independent publishing to be more and more professional without the need to sell their services to a big media venue. So if you are independent and you have good advertising services at your disposal, like to earn money with what you are writing, like, you know, like Bluebox, like Google, like other players that you can earn money with what you are writing, you can keep doing it, right? Because you are not going to need to work to a, you know, if you are, this was pretty common in the 80s or in the 90s or even the beginning of the year 2000, where if you get lots of attention with your independent publishing, some large media group buys you and you start writing to them. And with good internet advertising services like Bluebox and other places, that, like I said, you can keep earning your money, making your living out of it, and you don't have the need to sell your opinion or to sell your work. I'm not saying your opinion, but you don't need to start work to a large media group. So you can keep being independent. And this is why I think the work of Bubox and other similar players in ad networks and other players are very important, because with the advertising money flowing from the advertiser to these individuals, to these independent content producers, all the country can get better, because you have better content online, and better content online attracts more audience, and more audience attracts more advertiser money, and with more advertiser money, the publisher can create better and better content, because you have money to travel, to make an interview, or to buy a better camera to make a video, or to make some kind of MBA to produce better content. So this is pretty important, this cycle of advertiser money going to independent publisher doing better content, and better content driving more audience, and more audience driving more advertiser money. This is a very, very strong cycle that can produce a better society, especially here in Brazil, where I know it better.
That's a pretty powerful message. How did they respond to that at the UN?
Well, they liked it a lot. I got some applause on that. It was good, but I hope it generates like true results, right? Not only the applause, but also actual changes in the society.
Hmm. No, I mean, you're everything you're saying there, it's right.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, right? You are an independent publisher yourself, so you know how much change you do in the lives of people that are learning more and more about business with your content. And, you know, you are probably going to interview some people that learned with what you published very soon.
Yeah, I mean, mine was one of the first interview sites on the web. This hadn't started back then, and it was a really powerful concept for the time. Now, you know, there's a lot of them, but
with independent and with good advertising providers, you can keep being independent, and you don't need to go to work to Fox News or CNN or something like that, right? Or Business Insider or whatever.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good message. Cool. Well, is there anything else you want to share?
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Thank you for the space and for the opportunity to share my thoughts on so many things. That's pretty good.
You did a really great interview, Marco. You really should be proud. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.